Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You are listening to the Raiders Fan Radio Podcast, taking that lighter journey into the dark side with Murph, Swag Jeff, and Michelle. She's got great hair. It's a little pink. It's a little purple. Whatever it is, I'll tell you what, if I could grow it, I would sign up for that color today. So listen to her and the entire crew as they give you all the information on the Raiders on the podcast that benefits the One Nation Foundation. It's a great cause. It's a great pod. Tune in. Turn it up. Here it comes. All that Raiders info and takes coming at you right now.
Jackpot, baby. Raiders Fan Radio.
Oakland, L.A., Oakland, Vegas, Raider Nation, wherever, forever. You got your old Uncle Mosh and Raiders Fan Radio from Murph's Man Cave, taking a lighter journey into the dark side. Sit back, put your feet up, pop a top, and enjoy the ride. Here we go!
We miss you, we love you, and we'll see you in the Hall of Fame.
When you have great coaches, then after you have great coaches, you get great players, you have a great organization, and you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
Way up the middle, intercepted Villapiano at the 50, time running down, Oakland football, and I think Oakland victory.
The Raiders have scored on the most dreamy, unbelievable, absolutely impossible dream of a play.
Well, I love this team. I think this team can win. I think this team can win.
You are listening live to Raiders Fan Radio. Take it away, guys.
Why, thank you. Who's that? Brett Musburger?
Who the hell's that guy?
Sorry, it's early around here. It's so early. Appreciate what is it? Yeah, thank you, Brett Musburger.
Oh my gosh. Should you start over?
What is up, Raider Nation? Your buddy Murph back once again for what we trust will be a fantastic episode of Raiders Fan Radio. Episode number 323 of Raiders Fan Radio, coming to you live from Murph's Fan Cave, where we are all a fluster because this Super Bowl sucks ass and none of us are looking forward to watching it. So in the spirit of community, we wanted to uplift everyone.
Yes. That's what
by gathering together on Super Bowl Sunday to talk about the 10 shittiest things that have ever happened to the Raiders. So
just lean into the suck.
Just lean into the suck because today sucks. And so we thought it might be kind of fun. So once upon a time, we did a Tuck Rule show, which was the worst idea we ever had because it was just like wallowing in misery of the Tuck Rule for like 45 minutes. And the people in the chat room were like, what are we doing? Like, will you guys knock it off? And so, but anyway, so we don't want to go full on like into one thing, but I thought it might be kind of fun for us to go around and talk about the 10 worst things that ever happened in Raider history. And it's our own top 10. So like, it doesn't necessarily have to be anything on the field. I had some people on Twitter ask me, they'd be like, well, does that have to be on the field? Or is it? No, anything that's ever happened in your Raider fandom that sucks. And I got stuff that's very personal to me that's happened. And so, but that's part of it. So anyway, so chat room, everybody that's joining us live at youtube.com/RaidersFanRadio, please let us know what your top 10s are. So we're going to go around. We're going to do our top 10 here in the fan cave. Of course, we're going to have a lot of them that are the same. I mean, there are some named games out there that are clearly going to be the same for a lot of us, but it should be kind of fun. And then to cap it off, we're going to watch the NFL Films highlight reel of Super Bowl 15, which is an absolute blast. And so we're going to do a little watch party style. So hang around to watch that with us after we get to these top 10s here. But anyways, thank you to everybody that's in the chat room. I'll leave it to Swag Jeff to shout everybody out. But we love you guys so very much. Thanks for joining us here on the Super Bowl Sunday. And we'll just have a good time, kick around some old Raider stories that may not be so much fun. But we're sharing in community. We're going to embrace the suck. We're going to brace it together. And then we're going to put a pin in this stupid-ass season and then move on and start looking forward to the draft. So
there you go.
Without further ado, let me turn it over to my best friend and yours. He is the man that adorns the Eastern Annex of the Murph's Fan Cave Desk. He is Swag Jeff.
Hey.
What up, Swaggo?
Oh, my gosh.
You're styling and profiling.
You know, we're just trying to get people to start drinking early. I feel like by the time that this show is over and we've gone through all of our lists of the worst thing that's ever happened to our silver and black, everyone's going to be ready to just get drunk, you know? And I think that's what we're going to do.
And you know what? Do your thing.
Do your thing, man.
And hey, there may or may not be a little Bailey's and Kool-Aid
Come on, man. But yeah, no, I'm excited to be here, man. I'm excited to see our best friends in Raider Nation two times this week.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of cool. And we get to do a morning show and all that. Yeah. I'm fired up, man. This is gonna be fun, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Morning show, man.
I love it, man.
That would be great.
I love it. Hey, so we don't do the show alone.
Absolutely not.
No, so to my left over here, adorning the southern annex of the eastern annex for the Murph's Fan Cave Desk, please welcome in the lovely Michelle Swag.
Hi, Michelle.
Yeah, it's more my Super Bowl morning started exactly like this shitty Super Bowl should. The heating element went out in my blow dryer. So it took me 2 hours to blow dry my hair this morning. So that's all that happened. I got a little bit of makeup on and this is, you get what you get today. Yep. So there we go. That's it.
But you're here, Michelle.
But I'm here.
You're here to embrace the suck.
My hair did get dried, so that's good. I'm embracing all of the suck, every bit of it, because shit.
Shit.
Absolutely.
It's just shit.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what's not shit.
Okay. Tell us about it.
You tell us. You see what's on the screen there?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and there's been a few of those that have come in. So so Hooligan Nation, is that the most recent one right there? Because I think Hooligan's already done 120, hadn't he?
Oh, there you go.
Well, there you go. So much respect to our good friend Hooligan Nation with a $20 donation to the One Nation Foundation. Says, let's go for the tie. No winner in this Super Bowl.
Amen.
And then, our buddy Fabricator Gil jumped in and said, just going to drink and eat today. Hope I pass out by kickoff with a $20 donation to the One Nation Foundation. So those super chats that you see that are coming in, it's all going to the One Nation Foundation. So we realized we can make money doing this show, so we decided we wanted to give all that away. So we give it away to our One Nation Foundation that gives to different Raider-related charities, including the great folks at the Biletnikoff primarily. We give to Raider Dad. We gave to Max Crosby Foundation this year, and you know, we're always looking for other things as well to do. So thank you so much. Those donations are going directly to the foundation so we can impact Raider Nation in a positive way.
Awesome.
So thank you.
Good stuff there. Appreciate you, Raider Nation, so very, very much. All right, let's go ahead and hit some contact info.
Sure.
Or do you have a 323? Do you even have that?
No.
Okay. We typically take our episode number and line it up with the something significant in Raider Nation.
Yeah.
But not today.
But not today.
Mm-mm. No.
No. Yeah. Well, something's going to happen to you on 323 that's pretty cool.
Oh,
nice. So a silence, you know what? For you.
You know what? That's why you're my bestie,
that
bro.
Is.
That's good looking
solid.
Out, homie.
Yeah.
So 323 is a special day in our buddy Murph's life, and you know, and you'll be updated on that. But
it might say it.
Okay. Well, then, do you want me to announce it, or how about you announce your own thing?
No, I'll say it. Yeah. Miss Valerie and I are tying the knot, man.
Yay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Salud.
We'll be out there in Vegas on the 23rd of March, and we're gonna get it, make this thing official.
There you go.
Absolutely. I can't love her enough, and man, what a freaking saint she is. I'll just tell you that.
Totally. You're dumbass.
I know. Put up with this shit. Yeah, sorry. I should just be apologizing to her in public. Sorry, baby. But we're gonna get married, so that's gonna be fun. Be out there in Vegas for it, and we're gonna do a little Godfather wedding. It should be cool.
It's gonna be so cool.
All right, so Raider Nation, let's go ahead and hit some contact info, and then we will get to our top 10 list of the worst things that have ever happened.
Woo! Woo! Hey, Raider Nation! You got your old Uncle Mosh here with an updated contact info. So sit up, zip up,
shut up,
and pay attention. You can call us at 909-345-3346, or as Murph would say, 909-345-3346. How about emailing me? You want to email me? Email me at show@RaidersFanRadio.com. Or what about reaching out to us on some of that social media stuff Swaggy likes? Try Facebook at Raiders Fan Radio Podcast. The Twit at Twitter at Raiders Fan Radio. Insta something. Instagram at Raiders Fan Radio.
The Tiki Tiki Talky Talk.
TikTok at Raiders Fan Radio. Or what about the Twitch? Some of you out there twitching. Anyway, Twitch at Raiders Fan Radio. Or if you don't like that, go to the YouTube. America, go to the YouTube. YouTube.com/Raiders Fan Radio. Oh my God, if that wasn't enough, go to your podcast provider and search Raiders Fan Radio. Holy crap, that was a lot.
Good.
You were quick on that. Yeah, well, I really kind of had to rush into that.
You jumped the gun.
Well, because it's not late, and I haven't had seven happy dads.
We're trying to get this day over with. Yeah. This stupid ass Super Bowl over with.
No, literally. Yeah.
Let's go ahead and just hit the outro.
Thanks, Raider Nation, for joining us for this episode of Raiders Fan Radio.
Goodbye.
Oh my gosh. All right, here we go. Let's get through it. So, Michelle.
Yes.
Ladies first. Let's start off with you. Give us your first. And so what we're going to do, Raider Nation, we're going to go through our take turns going through our top 10 and kind of scratching them off as we have the ones that are the same. And then you've also got some mail-ins too.
Yeah, I do. Mark theirs off too as we go.
Perfect.
Through.
Oh, good.
All right. Okay, go ahead, Michelle.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and you guys already did a tuck rule game, so I'm just gonna go with that one. I just remember what a nightmare that was, and I feel like it changed the trajectory for so many things for the Raiders. Like it felt like a curse or something. So I'm just that's not my number one. I have, but it's up there. I mean, it's definitely in my top 10. It's in my top 5.
I think that's absolutely, you know, like not to diminish the choice, but it's low hanging fruit. Like it's on everybody's list.
It
absolutely should be, but I'm likely that it's in everyone's top 10. And I agree with Michelle, Jeff, because it wasn't even just, it changed the trajectory of two franchises.
Yeah.
Really.
Yes.
And one of the things that's interesting about it is that a lot of the venom and vitriol that gets thrown out there about the Tuck rule, listen, this is not a judgy thing, and I'm not telling anybody how to be a fan, but I think it's misplaced. Your hatred of the Patriots is misplaced. Your hatred should be of Walt Coleman.
Right.
The officials are the ones that blew that. Tom Brady and the Patriots just took advantage of a bad call. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And as we would, too. You know what
100%.
I'm saying? So the fault lies with Walt Coleman and that officiating crew, because that was some bullshit that they... I mean, it was everybody in their... Well, you guys know the story.
Yeah.
Everyone knows it was a goddamn fumble, Jeff.
Yeah, so we'll get that one out of the way.
Absolutely. Well, and that one was number one on my list.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think that you know, overall, I'm, you know, that just the travesty that it was. So so before I start with my top 10, first off, much respect to Jay Jackson with a $20 yes. donation in there. And Ty Davis also with a 10 as well, going to the One Nation Foundation. So much respect. So
thank you guys. Thank you so much. Read what they wrote there.
Oh yeah, of course. So Jay Jackson says, "Go commercials. See you guys in a few days." He's coming to Nashville.
Oh,
Jay.
That's right.
So, and then Ty Davis with a $10 donation that says, "Listening from work, purposely volunteered to work overtime today. Not watching this garbage bowl today, but much love, Nation. Go Raiders."
Thank you,
Ty. Get that money.
Thank you guys.
Much respect.
Thank you both very much.
Much respect. So for my top 10, so I'm just going to go down this list Letterman style, right? So number 10 that I have on my list, I'm just going to tell one. Yeah,
gotcha.
So my number 10 that I had on there was 2004, 2005. So the Raiders trade their 7th overall pick, Napoleon Harris, and a 7th round pick for one Randy Moss. So that happens, whatever. The Raiders still had the 23rd pick in the 2005 draft, which they grabbed defensive back Fabian Washington. But if they would have had that 7th pick, they could have gone up and shored up the defensive back spot at 7. Mm. And then for pick 23, they could have taken one Aaron Rodgers.
Oh,
the trajectory was very changed because Aaron Rodgers went 24 right after Washington, and we know how that all played.
Wow, Jeff. Yeah. Solid. Okay. All right. I love it. The chat room, everybody's like, I'm working today. Like, ain't nobody watching this shit either. Ron the Mater Raider threw up his already. Index cards.
That's a good one.
That didn't make my top 10 list, but that's a good one, Ron.
It is a good one.
That stupid smirk that Gene Steratore had on his face.
Bro.
Oof, I see that Gene Steratore. Okay, so I've got mine in no particular order.
Oh, okay.
I did them as they were kind of coming off the top of my head. We already did the Tuck Rule. So next is the Immaculate Deception. The Immaculate Deception is likely on everyone's top 10 list as well. I've got more about the Steelers to come. But that game, man, talk about changing, you know, trajectory. I mean, it didn't completely derail the Raiders like the Tuck Rule did, the Immaculate Deception, but it certainly kicked off the Steelers. It did that, and it really solidified. That was like the first, because you had the Heidi game, you had some other things that happened. You know, you had the game against the Jets back in the day and in the playoffs. You had some things that happened that worked against the Raiders in terms of, you know, keeping them from winning a football game. But this was the first time that it was like blatant. Like, they didn't make the call on the field initially. They went to the phones. I forget how long it was. It was like 10 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
And the story is that the only reason that they made the call that they did is because they were afraid of, we're going to riot. The Three River Stadium was going to riot. And so there's so many stories that came out about the Immaculate Deception. And that's why I refuse to call it reception. It's a deception. Mm. And it was the first time the Raiders got really, really jobbed when it counted most. And God bless Kenny Stabler. You know, that game isn't even close if he doesn't hobble in on bad knees into the end zone and make it a one-score game. Yeah. Like, you know, it was like a Herculean effort on the part of the Raiders and especially Kenny Stabler. And to have it end that way, that's some bullshit. Shit. So F the Steelers, F the officials. You know, and I remember like afterwards, like Madden would talk about it and he was like, what do we do? Like, why is this taking so long? You know what I mean? Like, and he's watching them on the phones and like, he's like, who are you calling? And rumor was it was Pittsburgh Police Department. Like, all kinds
really?
Of, oh yeah. All kinds of shit, man. They were So anyway, Immaculate Deception.
There you go.
All my 10 are personal. So I want to be clear.
Okay. All right. Good deal.
Marcus Allen, when he went to the Chiefs.
Oh,
It just stung. Mm-hmm. And because I loved watching him with my dad. Like, it just, what the damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of all teams to go to.
Of all the teams to go to. That was also on Paul's top 10. And he says, it sounds crazy, but I took this personally and I've never gotten over it. 32 was the first jersey I owned because his was the only one on sale over here. Him being the superstar that he was, man, that hurt. That was also on his.
Yeah, that was a big one, and it wasn't even just the fact that he went to the Chiefs, but there was such a falling out
right
between him and Al and all that stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah, that was
playing
ugly.
Fullback for Bo. Yes. You know, it's
Isn't
goofy.
That bananas.
Yeah.
It's just bananas. Yeah. So yeah, no, it's a good one, Michelle. It's a good one.
Yeah. Absolutely. So my number nine that I had was John Gruden getting traded to Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And you know, and ties into that Tuck rule because that happened literally right afterwards and all that. So just the changing of trajectory of both of those teams took another level with Gruden getting traded.
That's a big one. And if you guys haven't read it, there's the book. I think I got it over here somewhere. It's called Behind the Raiders' Shield. It was written by Steve Corcoran and Bruce Kebrick. And it really digs into, because these guys were beat reporters at the time during that era of Gruden and Al. And it really digs in a lot to what the dynamic was in the building and what led up to that and all that. And I mean, talk about a freaking clash of egos, man. That's ultimately what it came down to. Yeah. And you can't get into a pissing contest about the Raiders without Davis. You're going to lose. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so it was unfortunate the way that that worked out because the Raiders were something special back then. Mm-hmm. And in fact, and that leads to my next one, again, in no particular order, but it was fat ass Tony Siragusa breaking Rich Gannon's shoulder, separating it anyways. An absolute blatant roughing on him. This is a 347-pound man. He was listed at 347. Oof. Rich Gannon, so he's probably 360. Rich Gannon clocks in at 210, and Tony Siragusa takes a hop and puts the entirety of his body weight on Rich Gannon, separates his shoulder. Rich tries to come back in and play, can't. And so here comes Bobby Hoying, I think is who it was that came in. And it was terrible. We ended up losing that score. You know, that we blew that one play on defense when Shannon Sharp took off from 95 yards and scored. But man, I mean, if we still have Gannon in that game, a healthy Rich Gannon, because this is the AFC Championship game, we smoked the freaking Giants.
Oh, 100%.
We smoked Kerry Collins and the Giants. Ain't even close. And so that one, you know, like I talked about, like, you know, some people hate the Patriots. Like, I hate the Ravens and Tony Siragusa way more than I hate the Patriots. Because, you know what I mean? Like, that was a Super Bowl we were going to win. Now, I don't know if we would have won it back, you know, a game against the next year in 01 when we lost the Patriots. But we would have won that Super Bowl. There's no doubt in my mind that we'd have done that. And that dirty bastard, he got a $10,000 fine.
Yeah, that's all he got.
And that's all he got. And he's so, and rest in peace, man. God rest his soul. But he would talk shit about it, like all smug. Like when people would ask him about it afterwards, he's like, yeah, you know, we're just out there playing rough. No one wants to see anybody get hurt. Like wink, wink. You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, oh God, I hate Tony Siragusa. But yeah, that one stunk. So anyways, that's my next one.
So Tony Fat-Ass Siragusa was also on Paul's. That's exactly how he worded it. And also T-Hom also.
Oh, okay. Also good deal.
There you go.
Good deal.
Three on my list.
I'm going to bring it a little more current.
Oh, you had it. You had it too.
Yeah, I had it. Yeah.
Okay. Number three. All right.
When Derek Carr broke his leg.
Yeah.
I got that one.
I got that one too. At Sam's Bar and Grill. The whole family watching the game, and when it was immediate, like, this is bad. This is really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's on there.
All right.
And I think that was also, let me see. Yeah. Paul also had it on his list.
Mm-hmm.
I had that. So Jeff, we used to go to church on Saturday nights. And so we were at church and I come out of church and a buddy of mine from back home sent me a text and he goes, "Hey, you're quarterback broke his leg." And I'm like, because I watched the Titans game earlier. I'm not a Titan fan. And I'm like, you know what I mean? And he was like, "No, dude." He's like, "Derek Carr." And I'm like, "What?" Because I was recording the game. And so I come home, and so instead of watching the whole game like I normally would, you know, watching it recorded, I freaking like just fast forwarded to live. And sure enough, I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, this sucks. And then here comes, you know.
That was it.
Was it Connor Cook? What was that guy?
No, it was Matt McGloin came in.
Matt McGloin, but then
he got hurt. Connor Cook
started against the Texans. And he got smoked against the Texans, man. He got blown up by that Texans defense. That was rough.
Brutal.
That was our shot, man.
That was it.
You know what? Exactly. I don't know if they would have been good enough to win a Super Bowl, but that was a playoff run.
Sure.
Oh, totally.
Waiting to happen for sure.
Totally.
Happen. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, and I think Johnny Kicknut said in the chat that he was there for the game, but next on my list, number eight is, not the one that I'm about to say. Back in 1991, Bo Jackson breaks his hip.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I think that's
big.
Yeah. That's a massive one right there.
Well, you know what's funny is that, like, talking about these, I noticed when I was doing my list, a lot of it comes down to injury. Like, because it was like when the team was doing well, and then it's a shame that it's like so delicate that you lose one player and then all of a sudden it's over. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Carr goes down, we're done. Gannon goes down, we're done. Bo Jackson goes down, we're done. Like, it's absolutely over when that happened. And so in that spirit, I'll give you my next one. Okay. It's Jason Campbell's collarbone.
Oh. There you go.
When freaking Scott Fujita freaking hits him, takes him to the ground. Now, it wasn't a dirty hit, but takes him to the ground, breaks his collarbone. We were 4-2 at the time, right? We were humming. Yeah. And then on the heels of that, here comes the Carson Palmer trade and all that shit.
I almost put that on my list, Carson Palmer.
It was a mess. Like, you know, Jason Campbell had struggles the year before, and he went back and forth between him and Gradkowski, depending on who was healthy and all that kind of stuff. So he's kind of up and down. But that year in 2011, he was humming, man. The team was humming. Like, it. But sure enough, again, one injury and there it goes. So Jason Campbell breaking his collarbone was my next one.
Yeah. And that was actually on T-Homs too.
Oh, okay. So, all right.
Mm-hmm. My next one is the Khalil Mack trade.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
That was a bummer of one. And then I think, I don't know who said in the chat that Gruden was like, pass rusher, they're hard to find or whatever, you know, like, hey, you can trade that guy and then say some dumb shit. Like, so that's on my list.
Well, you know what? Trade. And you know what hurts about that one, Jeff, that one that really bothered me was that, like, in the business side of it, I got it when it happened. Right? Didn't you too, Michelle? Yeah. Right? Like, I'm just like, okay, we would have had to pay him a boatload of money. We've got all this draft capital in return.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this gives us an opportunity to build a team. And then they squander every freaking pick, except for maybe Josh Jacobs, that came as a result of that trade. So they absolutely botched the whole point of doing it to begin with. Yep. So they should have just paid his ass.
Yeah. Yep.
100%. So next on my list, I have the AFC Championship game, 1977 Raiders Broncos non-fumble.
Oh, I got that. I got the Rob Lytle non-fumble. Yeah. In fact, that was my next one.
T-Hom has that as well.
There you go. There's another one where we get absolutely jobbed. The Raiders do. Jack Tatum absolutely clobbers Rob Lytle at the goal line. I forget the guy's name. Something McCoy was one of our defensive tackles. Picks up the ball. He's got a 40-yard head start on everybody. Can easily run that thing into the end zone. And and I think it was take the lead at the time.
Yeah.
It
was like 7-3 at the time.
7-3 at the time. Exactly. Yeah. So we would have given us a 10-7 lead. And then again, same thing. Like, everyone's like, they blow the whistle after the guy's already running down the field, and then everyone's just kind of standing around looking at each other. And there's like, and Madden's going, what are we doing? Like, it's kind of the same thing. Can you imagine? Like, this was kind of like the last hurrah for those 70s Raiders. You know what I mean? You're talking, all the guys were there. Tatum was still there. Villapiano was still there. Like, all of them were still there and had an opportunity to win that football game and go, and again, would have smoked the Cowboys in the Super Bowl.
Right.
The Cowboys and the Broncos were awful compared to what the Raiders were. The Raiders were in their absolute heyday at the height of their power in the 70s and lost because of a bad freaking call, man. It was, it's so lame. And so it's so funny. On that one, you hear Madden talk about it after the fact. He actually got an apology from the officiating crew.
Really?
A written apology sent to him saying, hey, John, sorry, we blew this one.
Too late.
Unbelievable. Can you imagine? Like, unbelievable. But the good thing that happened, and like so many things happen in the NFL, the good thing for the league that happened on the heels of that, that's when instant replay was getting ready to start. Because Al was like, all right, this shit is never going to happen to us again. We've got too many cameras. We got NFL films. We got all these broadcast footage. This is not going to happen again. And I think it was like 2 years later, they started doing instant replay official because of that freaking play. God dang it.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. All right, Michelle.
The 2006 season.
Because
Paul has it on
2-14.
2-14, like it felt like that was the bottom, and we could only go up from there. And even after that, we didn't. But yeah, that was like, talk about hopeless. Paul said that if memory serves, we had 3 shutouts that year. Like, what a terrible season, and for it to not even be the number one is actually really embarrassing. Because that should be the worst thing that could have happened. But all these top tens are
Well, and Jordan Ford's got a great one in there. He says car sliding inbounds and he's and he's called slid out the last game in Oakland.
Ooh,
that's a good one.
That
losing
was brutal.
And you know what? And that easily, that was probably like my 10.5, like losing the last game in Oakland. There wasn't a lot of consequence to it, but for the legacy of the Raiders in the Bay Area, it certainly was. And
so,
losing that last game in Oakland, that was rough. And so that's a good one there, Jordan Ford.
Absolutely. So my next one is a more personal one. So if you've been watching the show for any length of time, April 10th, 2019 was when I became a Raider fan that day. And I was initiated into Raider Nation in true Raider style because that offseason, which is my pick, the 2019 offseason, started with Antonio Brown and the crazy shit that we had to deal with there. And then I was a Raider fan for 16 days. And with the fourth pick in the 2019 NFL draft, the Oakland Raiders select Cleveland Farrell. Like, you know, so that was, I was just brought in in full Raider style. I embraced the suck away.
Baptism of fire right there. Oh my gosh. Johnny Kicknuts has got Napoleon McCallum against the Niners. That Raider team was stacked. Absolutely. And that was, man, what an awful, awful injury that was. And you know what? And speaking of against the Niners, Jerry Rice breaking the touchdown record on Monday Night Football against us, that one was pretty bad. Brett Favre throwing 5 touchdowns on Monday Night Football against us, that was pretty bad. Jordan Ford says, beat me to it, Murph. All right, here's one. I got a controversial one.
Ooh.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Yes.
Do you guys know, if you look at a heat map of where people listen to us from, do you know where our number one market is for Raiders Fan Radio? You guys know?
I would guess Los Angeles.
You are correct.
I was thinking somewhere in California.
You are correct. It is Los Angeles. So I'm running the risk of pissing off a bunch of people in Los Angeles, but you guys know I love you, and I have nothing but respect for Southern California Raider fans like Michelle. Okay. When the Raiders moved to LA, it was not good. I was absolutely devastated as a kid. I was 11 years old and the Raiders moved to Los Angeles to a market that we didn't like. If you're not from California, you don't know. There's a rivalry between Northern and Southern California. There's a rivalry between the Giants and Dodgers. There's a rivalry between the Warriors and the Lakers. We don't like the teams in Southern California. And then my favorite team became a team in Southern California. It was devastating. Now, we didn't stop being Raider fans, but it dinged up fandom pretty good. Mm-hmm. It dinged us up as Bay Area Raider fans when the team moved to Los Angeles. And again, Los Angeles still is an awesome Raider town. So it wasn't like, you know, I was a kid, you know what I mean? The fans are Raider fans, so they're, you know what I mean? But it was the idea that the Raiders went to Los Angeles, and it just, man, it did. That got me in the feels. And the other thing about it too was that, and then I stayed in California until 1995. Okay. And that's when the Raiders came back.
Yeah.
So the whole time I'm growing up and living in California, like, they're gone. They're not even in the market. That's why my first freaking football game was go see the Niners, for crying out loud. But anyways, that was a hard one. That was for anybody old school, you know, Bay Area guys, then girls, you'll get it. And they know what I'm talking about. But again, it doesn't disparage Los Angeles Raider fan, because like Michelle, you guys are diehards down there, and I got nothing but respect for them. But as a kid in the Bay Area, growing up as a Raider fan, when they left, that hurt.
Yeah, that was like the coolest thing that happened, because for me, when I became a Raiders fan. So this is kind of similar. When the Raiders left Oakland to go to Vegas, I didn't think it could be. I thought it was going to be the worst thing that happened to the Raiders. Like, I couldn't fathom them not being a California team. And I mean, thank goodness it's panned out, you know, aside from the shitty Super Bowl today. But like, when they left Oakland, I that didn't feel right. And so that's in my top 10.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And I'm with you too. It was that the idea that they were like, oh, they're going to do it again.
Yeah.
Like, here we go.
And leave the state. Not even
go back to LA. That's the thing I thought of. I'm like, okay, even though as much as I just talked about how it hurt my feelings when I was a kid, now knowing what the Los Angeles market is for Raider fans, I was like, okay, well then they should go back to LA. And then they didn't. But I mean, but like you said too, Michelle, like, Vegas is, it's badass.
Yeah.
No, it's not Oakland. Yeah. It's not the old days and whatever. And so it's a different version of the Raiders for sure. But it's not a bad version. Sure. Wearing a hat now. I fully embrace Las Vegas.
Yeah, for sure. So Ty Davis in the chat with a $1.99 nice. Donation to the One Nation Foundation. He says the mysterious whistle against the Bengals.
Oh, that's
Which is badass, because I had another honorable mention on my list. I had just the last drive in that Cincy playoff.
Oh, that was brutal.
Yeah,
man.
That was.
But yeah, that's right. That was, who was that? Was it T. Higgins or somebody that caught that touchdown pass in the end zone?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, because they blow the whistle, and then the Bengals kept playing, and our defense stopped. So
yep, 100%.
Jeez. So, the Crocus of the Black Holes says, well, this has been uplifting.
Yeah, right? Right? 100%. So
we're gonna put a positive on this when we rewatch Super Bowl 15 coming up here in just a minute.
Absolutely. So my number four on my list was just Super Bowl 37.
Oh, yeah.
Just the game.
Just
the game. Getting punked by John Gruden, you know, that, you know, Callahan didn't change any of the signs, any of anything. Gruden knew all game long exactly what we were going to do, knew our weaknesses, knew all that. That's why Rich Gannon, threw 5 picks in that game or something like that. Yeah. You know, it's just bad. Just bad.
Yeah. That was bad. That was rough. And you know, and Bill Callahan, man, that idea that like you... You thought so much of yourself as a coach that you didn't want to change anything when you're playing the guy that literally invented the offense that you're running. Come on, man. It was so, I don't even know what to call that. It's beyond stupid. And this is a guy that said we're the stupidest team in America just a year or two later. You know what I mean? Like, or dumbest team in America, whatever the hell he said. What an idiot. All right. So I kind of teased it earlier. My next one is the Steelers. Just the Steelers.
In general.
The Steelers of the 70s. The Raiders, if for those of you that aren't familiar, we played them 5 years in a row, which is still an NFL record. We played them 5 years in a row in the playoffs. 3 of those were in the AFC Championship game, and 2 of those times in the AFC Championship game, they took us out, and another time they took us out in the divisional round. And this is where when we talk about other teams around the league, outside of the division, the Steelers are number one on old school Raider fans' list as far as teams that we hate. Yes, more than the Niners. Yes, more than the Patriots. More than the Ravens, because they kept us from winning championships. If it's not for the 70s Steelers, the Raiders have like 6 trophies instead of 3.
Right.
Like, we were absolutely dominant back then, and so were the Steelers. And then, by the way, then we got stupid Miami, who was good too. So then there was the 1 year, I think it was 73, we finally get past the Steelers, and Miami takes us out. You know what I mean? Because this is like on the heels of their undefeated streaks and all that. I mean, sure. So, I mean, those teams of the 70s, when we talk to guys like Freddie and all that, like the Chiefs, the Steelers, the Dolphins, the Colts, like those teams were freaking monsters back then. And the Steelers were the ones, man, ruined them. I mean, they won 4 championships in 6 years at freaking, you know, that cost the Raiders. So the Steelers as a whole, man, hate the freaking Steelers.
Yep.
Okay. This is my number one. This could be just my top 10.
Okay.
Sure. When Charles Woodson left and went to Green Bay.
Oh.
Yep.
Devastated me. I would have loved for him to have just been a Raider and won a Super Bowl with the Raiders. Like, so that one, that's my personal number one. That's my number one. The rest of mine have been checked off. We've talked about the rest of them.
That's a good one, Michelle. That one did hurt. Yeah. And it was like, and at least he went to a team that, like, you know, we don't have any like overt hatred for the Packers.
Yeah,
that was
helpful. Yeah, that was helpful.
But man, you know, even though he got hurt in the Super Bowl, winning Defensive Player of the Year, taking the Packers to the Super Bowl. I was like, gosh dang, that's our guy, man.
Yeah. Should have been us.
Should have been us. You know what I mean?
He still is.
I mean, yeah. Clearly. I mean, the guy reps the Raiders more than he does the Packers.
Yeah, but, absolutely. Yeah.
No, I'm with you on that one. That was a good one.
Yeah, 100%. So mine, surprisingly, is not Mariota leaving the Raiders as my number one. But my number two on this list, number one was Tuck Rule, but my number two on the list, Jamarcus Russell.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and that's an obvious one,
but
it changed everything.
Yeah. For 5+ years. Yeah. It wasn't even like it just like it messed up a season. Like a lot of the stuff we're talking about, you're talking about changing the trajectory of the franchise. And back then, because of the way that the freaking contracts worked, I mean, it just absolutely freaking crushed us as a franchise by missing on that. That was rough. Okay. So speaking of players getting traded,
okay,
mine, this is very personal, but mine is Kenny Stabler, Dave Casper, and Jack Tatum getting traded to the Oilers all within the same year. Nice. And so, you know, I get it. You know, Kenny was traded for Pastorini. Tatum was traded for Kenny King. And then I think Casper was just traded for like a draft pick or something. But you're talking about three of the all-time greatest Raiders, and all of them are traded to the same team. And then, you know, to Al Davis's credit, the Oilers were really good. And then guess who whipped their ass in the AFC Championship that game that year? It was us. So, I mean, you know, it was funny. I don't know if you guys ever heard this story. There's a, so back in the day, like, you know, the Oilers were really good, right? And they would get like real close, right? And then sure. They would get beat by the Steelers in the playoffs and get knocked out. Because again, we were talking about how good the Steelers were back then. So they would get knocked out. And so Bum Phillips famously said, this year we knocked on the door, next year we're going to kick it in. Next year we're going to kick that sumbitch in. Was his exact words. Well, then they didn't play this because they played the Steelers twice in a row. Then the third time, they didn't play the Steelers. They played the Raiders. And the Raiders beat the shit out of them. And my Uncle Murph used to say, well, I guess they kicked in the wrong fucking door. Anyways, all those three great Raiders being traded to the Oilers, that one stung. Let's see. Kelly Kreiner, shout out Kelly in the chat. Says Derek Carr getting cut has to be number one. Ha ha, he was trash.
Yep.
That's pretty funny.
And appreciate that $4.99 donation there, Kelly. Thank you. We had another one in there too. Who was that? Ty Davis. Oh, that we talked about that one, right? The mystery against the mystery whistle. All right, good stuff there. All right, so Michelle,
I've got a few.
Yeah, let's do it.
So T-Hom has Roselle Thwart's potential trade that could have brought Elway to the Raiders. So that must be personal for him.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I hated John Elway, and even from the ever.
My all-time most hated player.
I wouldn't have hated to see him a Raider. So sorry, T-Hom. But he also has, well, the abject failure of the entire 96 season was another one of his.
Okay.
And then the lateral pass during the 1968 AFL championship that the Jets recovered.
That's what I was talking about earlier.
Okay. I didn't mark it off.
No. I didn't have that on my list.
Oh, okay.
But that was the first time that a call went against the Raiders and kept us from going to the deep into the postseason. No, that's a great one.
And then he has a couple just two honorable mentions. One was Jamarcus Russell, which you already talked about. The city of Los Angeles for not renovating the Coliseum or building a new stadium as Al had wished for, and not hiring Art Shell sooner instead of hiring Shanahan in 88.
Oh, good ones. And, okay. Good, so good stuff were, there, T-Hom.
Yeah, absolutely. Stuff.
All right, Swaggo, you got any left?
No, I got no. I'm out.
Just me?
Just you.
I've got one left.
Okay.
You ready?
Let's go.
Yep, tell us.
My top 10 worst thing that ever happened to the Raiders. Al Davis died.
Oh,
I listen. He was an older man. He lived a good life. Yeah. Like, you know, we all got an expiration date, right? So it shouldn't surprise any of us that somebody that gets old dies. But the legacy that he took, I'm almost getting emotional. Mm-hmm. The legacy that he took with him and the maverick that he was and everything that he did in his, from literally doing things his way, right?
Yeah.
And crafting the mystique of the Raiders, the ultimate marketer. Yes, he was a maverick in the way that he operated with the league, but the way that he operated his organization and the relationships that he had was, it's still unmatched, in my opinion.
Sure.
It's still unmatched. And like, you know, he was a champion for diversity. He was a champion for his alumni. That spirit, it carries on. And it was just, and so even though he lost his fastball there at the end, you know, and even though, listen, he had screwed up the salary cap and and there's a lot of criticism lobbied at Al Davis in his later years, and even people would say like, well, you know, he didn't do anything good since 1983 and whatever. But what he did during the time in which he was alive was so monumental. It was just, I'm preaching the choir here. I get that. But I just, when he died, it's like that was like an era gone. And then it's never going to come back. And it was like, it's kind of like when the Raiders moved to Vegas. It was like, okay, well, that Oakland era is gone. It's never coming back. You know what I mean? It's going to be a different version of the Raiders from this point forward. That's how I felt in 2011 when Al died. It's like, okay, this is not going to be the Raiders. It's going to be a different version of the Raiders, which is fine because everything changes and, you know, people die. But this, that what he meant to the league and what he meant to us as Raider fans, like, I just, it was sad. Like, I felt like I lost a family member. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. His legacy will go on for ages. Like all the things that he did, like, but yeah, that was devastating. It did feel like you lost a solid friend, like, companion. It was really sad.
Yeah.
I didn't have that on my list because I blocked out that sadness probably.
Oh,
so.
Well, yeah.
But no, that's a good one. That's a solid number one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. And you know, and I think maybe that's part of the reason why everyone is so fired up about Antonio Pierce. Because we haven't had that feel of old school Raider football in a really long time. You know, I mean, yeah, there's been flashes of greatness and, you know, things like that. But until Antonio Pierce comes in going, I'm an LA guy, I'm an old school Raider guy, he gets it, you know, and Max Crosby gets it. You know, I mean, Crosby's wearing shirts, Al Davis shirts during pressers this week at the Super Bowl. So, like, you know, I think that's really why a lot of us lean in to Antonio Pierce so hard is because, like, okay, like, yeah, I know it's not Al Davis, but, like, we're getting a taste of what it was like. So, you know.
Well, and you know what? And it's so central to what it is to be a Raider fan, that mystique and that swagger, that, you know, whatever. Like, you know, Al was, I mean, he literally crafted everything from he wanted the opposing team to be afraid or intimidated when they came in on the bus. He wanted the facility to be intimidating. He wanted the fans to be intimidating. He wanted the team to be intimidating, like everything about it. And so we haven't had that. So like when I hear some journalists and stuff and they're like, well, all that should matter is wins. All that should matter is wins. I think you guys, you're journalists, you're not fans. So I get it that you kind of missed the point, but that is essential to the Raiders. And there is something about that, and it does lead to wins. That I think that without that spirit of that character, Michelle, I think it's hard for the Raiders to be successful. And that's where, like what Jeff's saying, to have all these things now connected and intertwined, like it feels right. And it's the first time it's felt like that in forever.
Yeah, in a long time. Well, I think because I had to put McDaniel's like debacle as an honorable mention in my notes. And I think that's, we've talked about these worst moments, and I think it brings us to actually when this game's over, because that's the shittiest moment that's going to happen today. It is then from tomorrow forward, all of these shitty things can be erased with what they're about to do, what Antonio Pierce is about to do, and what the team is about to do. Like, I think we have a lot of hope to look for, but yeah, that there is something. God, I know we're fans, but there is something special about being a Raider, and there's something different about being a Raider. And to know that people in positions of power now understand that, I think it's going to make a huge difference. So
absolutely. I loved his comments this week, Jeff, when he was, and he's done so many great interviews this week.
So many.
Yeah,
This one of the last ones that I saw was on Sirius that he was getting interviewed, and they were talking about, you know, what, you know, competing in the AFC West and all that.
Yeah.
And he's like, teams need to go through us. And he goes, it doesn't have to go through that team in red. He didn't even call them the Chiefs. You said that team in red. He goes, they got to go through us.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I love the idea that he is so committed to winning this damn division. Like it's massive because listen, that's where it's got to start with us. Because if we don't take out the Chiefs, and we've talked about this a lot here lately, you know, it's our job. It's no one else. Enough of this rooting for other teams to beat the Chiefs shit.
No.
We got to beat the damn Chiefs. And he is hyper aware of that. And that idea that it's not just because he wears cool jackets. It's not just because he has a cool car. It's not just because he says things that we like to hear as Raider fans. He is absolutely committed to the demise of the Kansas City Chiefs. That, don't tell me that doesn't help motivate your team and lead to success on the field. If you can't connect those two things, I'm sorry, I can't do the math for you, but it's absolutely 100% tangible, and one thing will lead to the other, Jeff.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, because the question was posed to him, you know, well, you're really going to have your work cut out for you this year because now you add Harbaugh into the mix and all that stuff. And so, like, he you know, dismisses the fact that, you know, no one's given us a chance. But then he throws it, you know, I was 3-1 as the head coach against the division. They got to watch out for us. We're coming. You know, I mean, what more do you, like... You know, and he's backed it up, you know, kind of like what you said, you know, yeah, you can have all the cool whatever and, you know, come up with all these new catchphrases and all this kind of stuff, but he backs it up on the field, you know,
so, amen.
You know, and it's clear that the team came out with a little extra juice against the division, you know, because we were 3-1 against them. You know, we lost a couple of dumb games, you know, on the way to this, you know, that 9-game stretch that we had. But like, you know, when the division opponents came to town or we went to their house, you know. A la Kansas City Christmas spoiler. You know, I mean, they come out ready to play.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we get a good, strong division record, you know, win that thing. Man, I'm telling you, it's got a lot to look forward to. And I'm with you too, Michelle, that like, we went through our top 10 worst moments. We've got this shitty ass game to come on later today. Thankfully, we'll all be at Michelle's house and we're going to hang out and have some good food and, you know, some camaraderie. And, you know, that's the thing about today. It's about getting together with friends and family and just breaking bread and just, you know, throwing chicken wings at the TV. But sorry, I won't throw anything at your TV. I'll verbally assault Travis Kelce from your couch.
Yeah. There you go.
So will I. Yeah.
But anyway, so appreciate you, Raider Nation. Thank you guys so very, very much for joining us. So we're going to get into, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to get into Super Bowl 15 and relive a little bit of the past glory of the Raiders as they're the first wild card team to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Nobody enjoyed a good Donnybrook more than sixth-year linebacker Phil Villapiano.
Linebacker, number 41, Phil Villapiano.
This is Phil Villapiano, and you're listening to Raiders Fan Radio.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey, Raider Nation, this is Max Crosby from the Oakland Raiders.
And goes down, and Max Crosby, who forced a fumble last week.
You're listening to Murph, Mosh, and Swag Jeff on Raiders Fan Radio. Thank you so much. Just win, baby.
All right, appreciate all of those of you that are joining us in the chat room tonight. Michelle, who do we have in there?
All right, we've got Raider Ruse in there, Mark Salter, Jay Jackson, Freddie Chavez, Guareb's in there, Raider Joe. Did I say Jay was in there? Of course, Ron's in there, Leo, Atticus B. Rockin', M85, SoCal Sal, Ty Davis, Juan Hernandez, it's still early for me. I didn't have coffee, so.
Oh, that's
I'm
true.
I'm glad I didn't have a lot of emails to read. So, Raider Dad's in there, Big Mike Raider. Listen, we got a lot of people in there.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Appreciate all of those of you that are joining us tonight. It's always tonight. Now it's today. But I'm so used to saying tonight. So appreciate you joining us today for this episode of Raiders Fan Radio. Let's see. Eduardo says, this episode gave me flashbacks. NFL throws flags. Amen to that, dude. Let's see. Jordan Ford says, purge the bad shit and focus on the positive. Amen to
that.
Let's see. Raider Ruin there says, I'm very excited to watch the damage Max Crosby causes next season. I felt like... I felt like as watching him as evolve as a player and the way he's developed, like he'd been getting close to like, okay, look, this, you know, I don't think we've seen the best of Max Crosby.
We haven't.
Michelle, I think he's going to be better.
He is going to be better. Yeah, we haven't. Yeah. As soon as they elevate the people around him and he is going to actually, you're going to get to see exactly what he has to bring.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's get him a big defensive tackle in there. Mm-hmm. Let's get him some help because I'm with you, man. Yeah. Max is a freaking
golly. Just,
it's insane. It's insane to think about how good he is now and that he's only going to get better. Yeah. It's just fascinating. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into this Super Bowl 15. So here's what we're going to do. So we've got the panel there. So we're going to watch this live with you guys as we jump into Super Bowl 15 down in New Orleans. I forget what the exact date was, but you'll hear the great John Facenda here tell you the date. So let's go ahead and kick this thing off. This is Jim Plunkett, Kenny King, and the gang taking out what's his name? Jaworski and Dick Vermeil there in the Superdome.
January the 25th, 1981.
John
America welcomes home 52 of its bravest.
It's the voice of God.
Amid the color and excitement of Super Bowl 15.
Super Sunday, what a day. I can't believe it.
Lester.
It's like a dream come true.
Come on, Judge.
It's unbelievable. Yes, and we're going to win.
Damn right.
We are going to win, no question.
That's before he put Stick-Em-On.
Of the American he looked pretty clean. The Oakland Raiders danced into this prestigious ball wearing glass slippers. If ever there was a Cinderella champion, it was these men in silver and black.
I love those overhead
their
shots.
Quarterback yes. Jim Plunkett had salvaged
that logo right there in the center, that must have been before the Raiders scratched off Pete Rozelle's name off of it.
Oh, yeah. Season, good call, dude.
Head coach Tom Flores directed a team with 14 new players through the wild card playoffs and into the Super Bowl.
We got Run Jones in there.
Shrewdly built by owner Al Davis.
Let's go.
And reflected clean. The cool professional clean. Attitude of a team accustomed.
Looks like a gangster, man.
You need that
love
shirt.
This was all new.
I'll put it in my Amazon cart right now.
I'm going to dress Lamont like since that for Dick the next Vermeer play in the
yes. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Because their personality mirrored his discipline and determination, these Eagles were often given more credit for being hard workers than good football players. However, in November, these tough Eagles had beaten the Raiders 10-7.
Yeah, they're Jim.
Mainly by sacking Jim Plunkett eight times. It was here, in one of the season's most physical encounters, The initial battle lines were drawn for Super Bowl 50.
What a beast. Love
well,
this guy.
I learned that from getting close to Jaworski and knocking him down a couple times that he wears English leather. Jerry Sizemore wears Aramis. And that guy, Pete Perot, that second year guy from Southwest Louisiana, he doesn't wear any cologne. He doesn't even use deodorant. Oh.
Super Bowl 15 featured the most striking contrast.
Talk about voices of God, Bill King.
Oh, my man. Gosh.
Come on.
Best.
First crossed lasers.
Such a legend.
With Luke Skywalker.
Here we go. Team! Go, Frank. You ready for a real dog fight now, man?
Go cry, Dick. Weepy bastard.
We only have 60 minutes to get it done, so no sense in waiting. Start on the first play and give it everything you got on every snap, huh? Good luck to all of you.
That was inspiring.
Yeah, it sure was.
Wow.
Jeez.
And Super Bowl 15.
They cut away. I think they told Jaws to throw it to Rod Martin all the time.
Yeah. Look for 53 and get him the ball.
There you go.
Third play. Dick Vermeil called.
Double base pass 46, 47, check with me. Dick.
For Vermeil and his coaching staff in the press box above, it proved to be a play-action pass
that
they immediately regretted.
Play fake. Back is Jaworski with time to throw.
He's got spag.
Throws one. Here's
there you go, Rod.
Oh, Rod. No.
My guy.
Right here.
Throw it right to him.
Thanks, Johnny. Guy went cover six and the linebacker came off.
Rod Martin, who was once cut by the Raiders, made the first big takeaway of the game from his outside linebacker position. Instead of lofting the ball over Martin, Jaworski fired hard and low, aiming for a seam in the Raiders' zone that turned out to be a mirage.
A mirage.
So good.
Gosh, if he don't run into Bob Nelson there, he might have taken that thing to the house.
Yep. Bad times for the Eagles.
Mark Van Egan.
There he goes.
The music.
Good morning, Maddox. Cliffy, let's go.
Third and goal on the two.
Love the shot.
Puckett
so cool.
Back to pass.
Look at that time he's got.
He looks over the middle. He's got it. Touchdown, Raiders. It's caught by Cliff Branch.
Attaboy, Jim.
A two-yard touchdown pass.
Look at freaking Upshaw like over there. Just looking for someone to maul. There's no one around
so
him, man. Towers over everybody.
Yep. Saved the touchdown. His step up forced linebacker Frank
look
LeMaster
at that.
To
there's
commit
no
forward,
freaking pressure.
Creating a crease just big enough for a dart. The Raiders struck first, but on Philadelphia's third possession, the Eagle offense finally took wing.
You believe that guy got into the Hall of Fame before freaking Cliff Branch?
So stupid.
So stupid. Harold Carmichael.
Ha! Nice stick.
Is that Mike Davis? Yeah. Look at Ted Hendricks.
Third and long. The Raiders in their 4-2-5. Back to pass now goes Jaworski. Looking, being chased out of the pocket of the right. He's got running room, directing play, going deep. A bomb to the end zone. It is a touchdown.
He got it. Touchdown.
That was a pretty good throw. that was a good throw.
For an eagle.
Right, yeah. Right.
There's a penalty on.
But I mean, because the coverage was great.
Rotten touchdown called back.
Uh-huh.
Down on Harold Dick.
Wide receiver Harold Carmichael had drawn an illegal motion penalty, canceling Philadelphia's chance to tie the score.
I love the sad music.
Yeah.
It's the best.
This play left the Eagles in a state of shock from which they never seemed to recover.
Such a problem. Yeah.
For the Raiders, on the other hand, an unusual reversal of Murphy's Law began. As everything that could go right did go right.
Here comes the rush. Steps up. Can't find anybody yet. Takes off running to the left.
Here goes Kenny.
Yep.
And it's caught by King at the 40.
He gone.
He's gone.
The pass covered 80 yards.
Who's 85 right there?
Bob Chandler. That's who Villapiano got traded for.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He had some wheels.
Yeah.
He's keeping up a kid right there.
Yeah, sure is.
Puckett on a third down play that time. Got good blocking. Couldn't find the receivers.
Jeez, all freaking day.
And when Irv Edwards gambled, he came up stink eyes.
I think Jim Plunkett invented the back shoulder pass.
Battles
right there.
Between evenly matched teams are seldom won without taking some risks. Philadelphia blitzed one linebacker and crossed their nose guard and end
in morning,
an attempt
Gil.
To pressure the supposedly immobile quarterback. But it was good secondary coverage that
that's functional mobility. Shout out Mo Moten.
Hey, there you go.
Where he gambled with a soft toss just above the reach of
that.
Eagle cornerback
telling
Herman
you.
Edwards.
They never threw back shoulder passes like that back in the day, man.
No.
I think Jim invented that, or he missed them.
Alert and opportunistic, the Raiders led 14-0 as the second quarter began.
Love that neck rolls.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, solid.
Coach. We got plenty of time, and we're moving the ball well. Just we've given them a couple
points.
Wow. Just keep our heads, and everything is fine as far as their game plan. Nothing to matter at all.
You sure?
But not all was well with the Eagle game plan. Oakland's nose guard, Reggie Kinlaw,
let's
number
go.
62, was personally shutting down Philadelphia's prize running attack.
From Kinlaw's been paying her so far.
Kinlaw proved to be one persistent lighthouse around which the storming chaos of the Raiders defense revolved.
You got Kinlaw up there, and you got Matt Millen and Ted Hendricks playing linebacker.
Kinlaw and
geez.
The Oakland linebackers
there's Ted.
Completely took away the cutback
look at
running
stork,
of
man.
Montgomery.
Look at him and Millen
and
both on that
the
one.
Eagles with only 69 yards
jeez.
Rushing
they're,
on
they're
the
they're 6 yards in the backfield when the play
yeah,
starts.
Yeah. There's nut double nickels, Millen. And there's Martin. Gosh, dang. Look at Ted coming in with the freaking forearm. Let's go.
Unable to go through the Raiders' defense, Philadelphia was forced to go over it.
Nuh-uh. Get him, Lester. Ah!
Midway through the second period, a series of Jaworski completions set up Philadelphia's first points of the day. A 30-yard field goal by Tony
Franklin.
Oh,
remember barefoot kickers?
Oh, man.
Wow.
That's wild.
The Eagles had reason to hope.
They're playing like
somebody needs
like
to bring back the barefoot kicker.
They really are, right? Coverage-wise and everything else. Yeah. Look at these guys. The big thing is we're all look a little bit tight, and they look exhausted already because of nerves. We got to get them to relax.
You look like dorks.
He's here's really trying to convince himself.
Right?
To this point,
trying to manifest.
Yeah, literally.
Tense, even apprehensive.
Moody back takes it on the 1 yard line. Out to the 5, the 10, straight ahead 15.
Boom!
Oh. Followed on by Rod Martin, the Raiders have it.
Another Rod Martin play.
Right?
So the Raiders get the football.
How was he not the friggin' MVP?
He should have been MVP.
Oh,
come
was
on.
Nearly the jolt the Eagles needed.
Yeah, how clutch is that? Ooh, what a shot, man.
Well, it should have been down by contact.
Yeah. Anyways,
the lousy Eagles were a step behind the wide-awake Raiders. Oakland was embracing its opportunities. Philadelphia was not. But while the Eagles were not playing their best, behind almost every missed opportunity,
love this rare.
There was a hustling Raider.
Oh boy, Cliffy. Almost got him again there, too.
Yep.
However, Philadelphia's
this was the one I was thinking of.
Was
oh, what a play.
With 58 seconds
that's why he should be
in
the Hall of Fame.
The half.
Yeah.
Third down. Quick release. Goes to the end zone. Overthrown. And a little quick
run.
Perfect call.
Good break for the Raiders as Parker really got out of the box that time and had McKinney beat him.
Look at he just whiffs that throw,
yeah,
man.
That's horrible.
On
he was wide
down,
open.
Eagle fortunes went from bad to worse.
Snap, spot, kick on the way.
Speaking of the man, Stork.
Jump on that shit.
Jump on
it. Fall on it.
Oh, there you go, Matt Millen.
Yeah, there you go, Nichols.
No player in the history of pro football has blocked more kicks than Oakland's Ted Hendricks, number 83.
So what happens when you're 6'9"?
No kidding.
It was more important than this one, for it confirmed that Oakland was winning pro football's world championship in the most convincing
fashion. Look at Rod just smiling at him, going like, yeah, we're kicking your ass.
As the second half began, Raider head coach Tom Flores realized that the key to
Henry
the second
Lawrence.
Half would be held by his huge offensive line.
Yeah. These are big boys. They weren't even that big back then. Upshaw was. Dalby was kind of undersized.
Sure. Using their linebackers, the Eagles hoped to break the lock protecting the Oakland offense. This strategy seemed to work against the run.
This music is so fantastic.
It's so good. Bring it back.
Where it was needed most.
Look at Gene's helmet, man.
Wow.
The Raiders had gone into the game reasonably sure.
Mickey Marvin.
Unlike their first meeting, they could protect Jim Plunkett. Using a blocking scheme devised by Tom Flores, Oakland picked up every blitz and every stunt the Eagles threw at them.
Look at that. That's why those guys are in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Plunkett seemed to have all day to throw. A painful
There's a penalty right there.
Away at the Eagles' composure.
So funny watching this.
Oh, man.
Even back then, it's a penalty, you know?
Yeah. Like, he throws a flag. Shifted
at him. Shift to another gear that isn't there.
On Oakland's first possession of the third quarter, Plunkett drained a little more confidence from the Eagles' already shrinking reserve.
Bob Chandler had a game, didn't he?
Sure did, too.
77 yards on
Tuck that thing away, Kenny! Jeez.
Back is Plunkett. Time to throw. Deep to the end zone to Branch.
Oh, that's, yeah.
I love that catch. The way he adjusts to the ball. Because Plunkett underthrows it.
Sure of just what he would do next. Plunkett did what he planned to do all along. Once more, Oakland's pass protection was magnificent.
It's a solid fade.
It was
solid.
An adjustment to the ball by wide receiver Cliff Branch against Philadelphia's rookie cornerback, Roynell Young, that produced
Look at Cliffy.
Touchdown.
Look at that.
Beautiful.
The Raiders were not hammering the Eagles into surrender. They were doing it with finesse and flair. The same style that had brought them to this Super Bowl. Trailing 21-3 with over 13 minutes remaining in the third quarter.
Plunkett's eating us alive.
The Eagles still believe that the promised land
Sad
was
sack.
Within
Who's
reach.
Who's exhausted now?
The problem was
Tours.
The only road out of these bad lands was through the mountains of the Raider defense.
Ah, let's go.
there it goes.
There's the stick'em.
That's
Dude, he wasn't even holding on to it. You see that
stuck
jersey
to, yeah.
sticking to it?
Tuzak, man.
Jeez.
Knowing that Ron Jaworski was being heavily pressured, Oakland secondary laid back in zone coverages designed to take away the long pass.
This is like the ultimate Al Davis team, man. You can't replicate size. You can't replicate speed. Like, you know, speaking of things that he did that were unique, and you know what I mean? And
totally.
When you were trying to throw
reinvented the league,
man. Between the NFL's tallest set of linebackers, there is little margin for error. And on a day when Ron Jaworski needed to be most accurate, he was not.
He was not.
Oh, that should have been
Owens
one.
Should have got him there. I think Rod gets him on this one.
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
Rod Martin's second interception tied a Super Bowl record.
Way to stay in bounds.
Resulted in another Oakland score.
From 46, it's kicked well. And it is good. And Philadelphia is distinctly...
What an ass kicking, man.
High right, play pass, 47. Headed 683, flat, and the go down.
Zan Blitz.
The music
is hilarious.
And again, the Eagles had snowballed down the field, only to melt under the hot glare of the end zone.
Sounds like a quarterback we used to have. The hot glare of the end zone.
I feel like that beef commercial should play.
Absolutely.
In the fourth quarter, the legs of Wilbert Montgomery and the arm of Ron Jaworski retrieved some of Philadelphia's dignity.
For on the side, go for the glory. This is the story of what you're made of.
But midnight had come and gone, and the Cinderella Raiders were still dancing.
The Raiders right now are in a situation to close in very firmly on their second Super Bowl championship in 4 years.
Jim Plunkett's performance in this Super Bowl ball was the stuff fairy tales are made of. 10 years of disappointment were behind him, for at last this Cinderella was healthy, poised and surrounded by men whose abilities equaled his own.
These are the best looking passes Plunkett ever threw. There's a little bit of a wobble, because he always had a little bit of a wobble
Jim
to him.
Plunkett's,
you know?
261 yards and three touchdown passes earned him Super Bowl XV's Most Valuable Player Award. And only a great save prevented a fourth touchdown pass.
I mean, that was all the money.
Yeah,
another Chris Barfield goal concluded the scoring as Oakland ended Philadelphia's dreams of a world championship.
Dick Vermeil must be feeling the sting of frustration right now.
He must.
Anyone who ever said one game cannot tarnish a great season never lost a Super Bowl.
Good as you play to get here and play like that. Sad day, gone way to finish the season. Give Oakland a lot of credit. They beat our butts.
Yep.
Wasn't a fluke.
This tale was to have a storybook ending for the remarkable Raiders.
Come on!
A new Super Bowl record, achieved by perhaps the least known of all these Cinderella stars.
Back is Jaworski. Sets up really deep. Now comes up the middle. Pickoff.
Got him again.
And Rod Martin once again slams the door in the face of the man they call Jaws, a sort of fitting symbol. Silver and black football is king of the hill in the National Football League. Crescendo of Raider fans beginning to rise.
Oakland's victory created the sort of joyous reaction that comes with seeing something that suggests all things are possible. The Oakland Raiders, for 17 years, pro football's winningest organization,
I love that shot of
were
Gene.
Once again the world champions of professional football.
The Prince came calling, Prince Pete Rozelle. He had a silver slipper.
The Raiders became, of course, the first wild card to win the Super Bowl. I think it's a tremendous compliment to the organization because you had to win four postseason games. I think it's a great credit to you for putting this team together. You've earned it. Congratulations.
Thanks very much, Commissioner. This was our finest hour. This was the finest hour in the history of the Oakland Raiders. To Tom Flores, the coaches, and the great athletes, you were magnificent out there today. You really were. And we want to welcome back the hostages to the United States. And take pride and be proud. Your commitment to excellence and your will to win will endure forever. You were magnificent.
Oh, man.
There you go.
So cool, man. Let's see. Jordan Fortin there says, you know, he hated telling that to Al.
Yes.
Absolutely, yeah, he did. You could just see in it. You can see it in that one, and then you can also see it when Black Sunday. You could tell he's just like seething that he has to win the Dan Lombardi trophy.
And when he gave Al the trophy at Super Bowl 18, all he did was talk about the Redskins. All he did
was, you know, the
losing team, they were, you know, one of the best out there, and you really beat a tremendous team today and all this. Like, it was just, you know, just give us our credit a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, those guys hated each other, Michelle.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
No tea, no shade to Mark Davis, but how do you have a dad with so much swag and such a cool, like, vibe, and you don't pick up none of that? Every time I see Al Davis and hear him talk, and like, just he's got this like super cool vibe. It's wild to me that, and Mark is a good guy. Like, there's no shade to him, but it's interesting to me that he didn't pick up a lick of that.
They're so dissimilar. They're just,
yes, yeah.
Just their air, the way they carry themselves, the way they look, they got like, they're just
everything
about him is just so different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. It is. It's a trip. No, I'm with you on that. It is. Because that's, and you know what? And I guess, and I know you're not attacking Mark, but in his defense, I would say that, like, we're all kind of dorks stacked up compared to Al Davis,
though, too.
You know what I mean? True. He was just such, and I think that, like, and this is to go back to your comments earlier, Jeff, about Antonio Pierce and why we embrace that swagger and all that kind of stuff. Because, like, that's what Al was. Like, that's the whole, again, I'll go back to it. It was like the roots of what it is to be a Raider, because he carried himself with such confidence and that aura about him.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And there was all the stories about Al, and, you know, I just, he's a character and a person just completely unique to his own.
Yeah.
I'm with you. It's cool seeing that. Almost gives me like chills. Like, seeing, I've watched that video 1,000 times.
Right.
But seeing it, there's something about sharing it with everybody too. And I appreciate everybody that's in the chat room. Jeff, shout them out. But it's really kind of fun doing it, having like a communal
thing. It's watching that, right? Yeah, absolutely. So Leo's in there, Frankie Mosqueda, Ron's in there. Jordan Ford, Frankie Chavez, who else we got in there? T-Hom's in there. Jay Jackson's in there. Yeah, we got the whole crew, man.
I appreciate you guys joining us. T-Hom says, when you watch the game, pay attention to the protection for Plunkett. Man. Gene Upshaw said it would be so. Absolutely. I mean, especially those overhead shots, you can just see that, man, there was no pressure on Plunkett all day to throw.
Yep.
So anyways, Raider Nation, thank you guys for joining us here for episode 323 of Raiders Fan Radio. We're going to be off this week, so you won't see us on Wednesday, but we're coming back the Wednesday after that. We've got a lot of fun stuff all ready to get to talk about, where we're going to get into all the current Raiders stories and start gearing up for the draft, man. So we're going to put this stupid Super Bowl behind us and start looking forward to talking about the draft and see what the Raiders are going to do and living with what the Raiders that are, not the Raiders that aren't. So thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you for the amazing super chats that came in tonight. We love you guys so very, very much. Have a great day. Enjoy the day with the family. Love you, Raider Nation.
Yeah, you listen, I know it's a tough day. It's a tough day, but it'll be fun. Hang with some friends, have you some drinks, eat you some food, cuss at the TV, do all those things, and then it'll be over. And that game we just watched, that's a foreshadowing of what is to come for the Raiders.
Come on.
Like, they're headed in that direction again.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, and just like both of my friends over here said, just try to enjoy the day, you know. Yeah, it sucks, but, you know. Grab you a couple cold ones and then grab you a couple more, you know. Thanks for ever tuning in for another episode of the special Super Sunday version.
Sunday
of Raiders Fan Radio, where we take a lighter side journey. Except today we didn't.
No, took a dark ass.
Today we took. Today we chose violence. We chose to take the dark side. So that it is what it is. But thanks for everyone so much for watching. Don't forget, boys and girls, what happens in Vegas started in Oakland. We love you guys. Much respect. See you next time.
Listen to Wendy. She says, "Be safe. Don't drink and drive."
There you go.
We had ill intent today with our show.
Yeah,
we.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love it. Absolutely.
Get on YouTube!
Goodbye.
Oh, shoot that Travis Kelce.
Bitch.
That was fun.
That was fun. And everyone seemed to enjoy it. I think-
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.